This is URN.
I'm delighted to be joined here by Alison Mitchell, broadcaster on BBC Radio 5 Live and Test Match Special at the David Ross Sports Village. Former University of Nottingham alumni have come back today for a Careers in Sport and Leadership event at the Sports Village. So Alison, of course, here a very long time ago now. Not that long. But how do you look back on your time at the university?
Well, actually, it was 2001 when I graduated, so maybe that does qualify as a long time ago. I loved my time at Nottingham. Studied geography, which was about 5 hours of lectures a week, I think, is probably still the case. Loved geography, played hockey, played in the first team, was club captain in my second year, went on a couple of tours, which I can barely remember anything about, probably says it all. And where we're sitting now in the David Ross Sports Village, this wasn't even here then. I'm absolutely blown away by what's been built. It's only the second time I've been back onto campus since I left. I've always sort of kept a bit in touch with the university, and I've still obviously got some of my best friends are those that I played hockey with at uni specifically. And had a great time. Also, was involved in URN when I was at uni, so it's even nicer to be back here and meet all you guys.
And what specifically were you involved in at the radio station?
I would come in on the Saturday Sports Show, which is still going, isn't it? The Saturday Sports Show? Yes. Yeah, so I would come in on the Saturday Sports Show as and when I could, because I'd played hockey throughout the winter. It's really only I'd pitch in and do a little bit of that in the summer months once hockey had finished. So I was a bit of a part-timer, in all honesty. But at that stage, I already knew that I wanted to do broadcast journalism after my geography degree, and I was lining up a postgrad diploma to go into that. So I suppose I was getting my work experience during my uni holidays, because I played so much hockey and wasn't really available to do URN term time. I focused on trying to get my work experience and do some radio stuff in the holidays. But URN was going strong, and I'm glad it still is.
It certainly is, yes. And of course, we're in such a fantastic facility right now, £40 million David Ross Sports Village. I bet you couldn't have imagined in a million years that this place would have existed at your time at the university.
Yeah, I couldn't quite picture how this fitted into the space that I remembered as the old sports hall or sports centre. So I would come in the same route round from Lincoln Hall where I was, drive in, the hockey pitch is still where the hockey pitch always was, and then there'd be a car park, a swimming pool on the right and the sports centre on the left, and now it's transformed, it's enormous. And I've learnt that the university has more sports clubs than any other in the UK, and this is the biggest facility in the country as well, I think, for universities. So it's amazing what has been done, and the plans are actually to only get bigger and better. So it's a brilliant facility for students to come. I'm quite envious. I'm not a student again now.
Now, just focusing on your time at the university again, of course, you're a massive part of the hockey first team during your time at the university, and the conference and the talk today was all about leadership qualities in sport and how that translates to the workplace. What particular qualities and skills translate to your particular line of work in sports broadcasting?
Well, if I think of the different roles I had within the hockey club, one was as a player, as a team member, and whatever walk of life you go into post-university, you are at some point going to be working as part of a team, whether that's in an office, whether that's in a cricket commentary box, whether that's travelling for work. Teamwork is so important, just having that ability to get on with those who might not be your best friends. You might not socialise with your centre forward, outside of hockey time or whatever sport it might be, but when you're on the field together and you've got that common goal, then you all work and you're pulling in the same direction. That was a key part for me. So as a player, as a leader, I suppose, as a club president, part of that is, well, simply public speaking, something which I've then ended up doing in my professional life. Every time you deliver a team talk, every time you sit and you chair your committee meeting or you're addressing a meeting, that's a valuable skill which you're going to need later in life when you go into your workforce. I think I mentioned negotiating, simply the experience I got as club president from a financial point of view, having to manage a budget. And as a freelancer now, I'm negotiating every day with clients, with people I work with, over what fees to pay. And little things like that come into effect. One of the biggest things for me, though, is that sport teaches you how to win and how to lose. And it teaches you how to deal with adversity, because not every day goes right on the sports field. There's some things that you can't control, although you can argue that actually preparation is a huge part of it. And I've certainly taken that forward into my career now, about the way I prepare for commentaries and make sure I'm ready before I go on air. But the adversity thing, careers are never going to go in a completely straight line, and we'll all have professional disappointments at some stage in our life. And my experience of being parts of sports teams that, lost out of that last penalty in the cup final or the league playoff, they're all huge disappointments, which you have to learn to bounce back from and learn resilience from. And that's going to stand you in good stead when you move forward out of uni.
Now, just to touch back on the university itself, finished fourth in Bucks last year, looks set to finish third this year. Of course, got this wonderful new facility, just won a sixth varsity series, Nottingham varsity series in a row. The motive of Engage, Inspire, Excel seems almost embedded in your ethos and your line of work and the way you conduct yourself. How important do you think it is for sports people at this university to adopt that kind of similar approach to not only sport but all aspects of their university life?
Well, engaging in something that means you're fully embedded with it, fully believing in it, and if you put your mind to anything in an engaged fashion, you'll produce better results. Inspired about something or being inspired or inspiring others, and that's something that when you leave university, one of the guys we heard to today was talking about people who are Lego bricks, who sort of attract people around them and have a stickability. People want to come with them. You become a good persuader. People want to follow you. If you can inspire others, you're going to go a long way in life. And to excel, that hopefully will come, you know, as a result of the first two. And if you're doing something that you're passionate about, you will naturally be better at something than if you can really, you know, give two hoots about it. So to excel, to inspire and to engage, it's written up there in massive letters as well. It's a lovely motif, actually, and it's certainly one that when I think about my own career, I can actually absolutely identify with each of those and how I want to, you know, try and bring each of those words into what I do on a daily basis.
So obviously it's a huge year for cricket and it's a very busy schedule. What are you most looking forward to this year? Is it the Champions Trophy? Is it the Women's World Cup or the Ashes down under?
There is so much, isn't there? There's so much. And the thing that's sort of looming biggest on the horizon for me right now is actually the Women's World Cup. Because it's held in England and because of the huge opportunity it presents. And yes, we've hosted Champions Trophies before in England. Women's World Cup is been such a long time, and the place that cricket has in women's sport at the moment is a place where it's got huge potential, and this could be a really valuable launch pad. The match which I particularly want to see how it unfolds is the final at Lord's, and to see whether we can sell that out. You know, I've really been trying to push online on Twitter saying, come on people, buy tickets for the Women's World Cup final. Hopefully England will be in it, but regardless, that scene, seeing Lords full to capacity to watch a World Cup final in women's cricket would make a huge statement about the status of the sport.
Definitely. And obviously you're a very, very successful commentator, especially for women, but if you could commentate with anybody, past or present, who would it be? I'm sorry for such a harsh question.
I hate these kind of questions because there's so many people that I love working with and have been so fortunate to work with. I mean, maybe it would be... Would you know... Yes, actually, no, it's not a difficult one to answer when I actually think about it. Can I bring someone back from the dead?
Yeah, you can.
Yeah. Well, I would bring Richie Beno back because he obviously was TV and I've been more radio. And TV was where he was, you know, absolute gold. I had the honour of making him his cappuccino when he was commentating for Channel 4 cricket and I was the runner. So I did sort of have a little bit of a rapport with Richie, but never able to work with him professionally in that commentary box as a commentator. So that, yes, would be my dream.
I'm really sorry I'm going to ask another really horrible question. But obviously earlier you said that one of your favourite moments that you'd commentated on was when India won the World Cup. If, you know, you could commentate on any past event in cricket, what would it be?
Gosh, yes, moments for drama and absolute intensity, and then what it meant for cricket in the aftermath. The last ball of the Edgbaston Test match of 2005. And I'm not going back too far into history, but that was such a seminal moment for sort of my generation and younger, and people who were just not really into cricket. Suddenly, that Test match and it coming down to the wire as it did, and then the catch, which we now know was a non-catch technically, was taken, and England won by 2 runs, and Brett Lee was down on his haunches, and Freddie Flintoff bent down to help pick him up, and that iconic photograph was taken. I remember watching that with friends who were not into cricket. And that, for me, sort of said it all, that this match has got everyone watching it. And that 2005 series was just absolutely iconic. And Jim Maxwell was on commentary for that final moment, and his commentary is epic. There is such feeling and intense emotion in his voice when that last wicket is taken. And, yeah, that would have been amazing to be in the commentary box for.
Obviously, you want England... Well, I hope you want England to win in the Women's World Cup and the Champions Trophy. But who do you think is going to be the winner in both of those two events?
Well, I would say with the Champions Trophy, England to make the final and play it against Australia would be an absolute crackerjack of a final, which you could say the same for the Women's World Cup as well. And then both sides, gosh, I mean, flip a coin. Although something might work in England's favour is this pay dispute going on with the Australian men at the moment, and how much that is still going to be hanging over their heads going into this Champions Trophy. Is that going to distract them? But England men are playing this brilliant brand of cricket in the One Day Arena at the moment. Ben Stokes, best all-rounder in the world right now. Yeah, everyone. Most expensive as well. He's showed his worth now, hasn't he, with that 100?
Yeah, definitely.
On the women's side as well, it's possibly a little bit more, you know, there could be a bit of a shock or upset with a team like the West Indies, who can be so sort of cavalier on their day. We've already seen with the World T20 how they can produce shocks. So they're a very exciting team. Over 50 overs, though, I would still expect teams like England and Australia to be the two that make it through to the final. But if we have a Women's World Cup final, England v Australia at Lords, now that should sell out.